Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And a good day to you, Thursday edition, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com as well as on Facebook. Give us a like. And we're on Twitter. Give us a follow. Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. And you can zip us an email anytime to our address, stevejones@wkok.com. And we invite you to subscribe to our podcast, available on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. If you happen to listen to us through Apple, iTunes, do not hesitate to leave us a review. Helps get the word out even further, and we thank you ahead of time for doing that. And we'll get that right to your smartphone or tablet when you search Steve Jones Show, where you get your podcasts. So we'll get our high school football roundtable playoff edition this afternoon. Zach Showers will check in. Seawolves Grove and Midwest tomorrow night, Harold L. Bullock Memorial Field, District 4 Quad A semifinal matchup. The other semifinal will be Columbia Montour Votech at Jersey Shore. So the winners of those two tomorrow night will play next Friday night for the championship. Greg Wetzel will also check in. He'll be with us in studio. We'll get his perspective of Lewisburg Central Columbia, rematch from just a few weeks ago. We expect more points on the board again Saturday night. Green Dragons at the Blue Jays will be live on 100.9 The Valley with a 6:30 pregame with head coach Mark Persing and the kickoff at 7 with Greg and Justin Michaels. So we'll preview those two games for you on our roundtable, and we'll get some football picks too with Kevin Jones, Steve's brother, back in Connecticut after a very successful Central Susquehanna Valley jaunt last weekend. So we look forward to hearing from Kevin at 4:35 with the picks. And we already have a very busy show on tap for tomorrow. We'll be talking ponies, because it is Breeders' Cup weekend at Churchill Downs. And Steve's broadcast partner, Dick Girardi, will join us. Look forward to that. And if you didn't get a chance to catch our interview with former Pittsburgh Steelers running back Merrill Hodge about his new book, Brainwashed, we've got that on the podcast. We're with you live till 5, and then Steve will be talking with Penn State head football coach James Franklin tonight, the coach's show from Permane Brothers in downtown State College. Have it for you here on the radio and, of course, streaming at WKOK.com. And we'll kick off weekend of football tonight. NFL, it's Oakland and San Francisco. Well, John Gruden's first season back with Oakland has been marked by a 1-6 record in trading two of the team's biggest stars. He says that has not affected other players' desire to play for his team next season. In an interview that will air tonight on Fox Sports prior to the Oakland-San Francisco game, Gruden tells former Oakland great Howie Long that players around the league have expressed their desire to play for him in 2019. Gruden's in the first season of a 10-year contract he signed to return as coach. His tenure began with the trade of star pass rusher Khalil Mack to the Chicago Bears in a deal that netted the team's first-round picks in 2019 and 2020. And last week, the Raiders traded wide receiver Amari Cooper to the Dallas Cowboys for a 2019 first-round pick.
Get rid of them. Get rid of them all.
Raiders are estimated to have $68 million in salary cap space in 2019. That is according to the website overthecap.com. Oakland will have three first-round picks in the spring 2019 draft.
They'll all be cheap, too, because of the rookie cap. I believe Gruden says everybody wants to play for him.
That is correct. We'll hear that tonight during his interview on Fox Sports on the pregame.
It's unbelievable, man. Everybody wants to play for Raiders. I don't know. Okay, now today, we have our high school roundtable.
Mm-hmm.
I actually should have requested to have the suit on, only to do a recap of the season and where to from here. In other words, I mean, in all seriousness, I mean that. You know, probably should ask them to come on just to, hey, look, this is what happened this season. They got 15 guys that were hurt, you know, but where to from here, and maybe, you know. So if he's in the building, we can do it, great. If he can't, I understand, because I just came up with the idea now.
Some days the show can be organic, very fresh.
Oh, for goodness sakes, we're out here without a net every day. What are you talking about? this is not Voice Track City here. And let's see, we have a writer from the Washington Post on today. Do we have that or not?
Mr. Stubbs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we got a lot going on. Now, tomorrow we got Dick Girardi.
Onyx.
And
Onyx. You know, place your bets.
And Hoops.
Hoops.
And Hoops.
Getting
Hoops
closer.
As well.
Getting closer. Wow, less than a week away from a lot of college basketball teams tipping off, including Bucknell.
Yeah.
Penn State a week from tomorrow night in the Jordan Center.
Penn State's actually one of the last to start. A lot of teams are starting Tuesday.
Yeah, a lot of big matchups on Tuesday.
At Duke, Kentucky. But, you know, we'll have Dick on the show. We'll have John Bacon tomorrow on the show. We'll have a writer from MLive.com on the show tomorrow. We're rolling. And the King is on today.
Because he can't wait till tomorrow.
Well, right now, of my five grandchildren, the middle one is 3.5 weeks away from being three. Okay. And, of course, he talks a mile a minute. All right. But every once in a while, he doesn't quite say P, he says B. So his older brother not only played flag football this year, but played Little League this year. And look, Colin's going to go into pitch. And he'd say, Colin's going to go into, and he wouldn't say pitch. He'd use the B. They're like, okay. Last night, now I wasn't there when it happened, right? Because, I mean, I just came home from practice and I handed out candy. Last night, somebody gave him a candy that was shaped like a baseball. And he says, look, I got my. He's walking.
Now I can go into.
Yeah.
Rhymes with itch.
Yeah. I got my pitch. I got my pitch is what he was trying to say. Yeah. It didn't quite turn out that way. And they were dealing, and they were laughing. So it was. What are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
We used to play a song on 94KX by that same title back in 1997 from a gal by the name of Meredith Brooks. I think she may only had like one other hit. So we just say, "Oh, here's Meredith Brooks on 94KX."
Oh.
I think we still played in our Nothing But 90s weekends. So. Oh, but that was popular. Man. Oh, my. I had a dollar for every time I'd get a Lunch Lines request for that Meredith Brooks song. No guy's ever requested that one. That was a female anthem that summer 21 years ago.
I got my pitch. I got my pitch. They tell this story last night. We're laughing so hard. He's going to turn three in about 3.5 weeks. So, Thanksgiving weekend. Oh, some of the entertaining things.
It's little things. It's awesome.
Yeah. No, it was funny. So, yeah. So we got a couple big days of shows coming up here. DJ Durkin got fired after the show last night.
Yeah, I get home and I'm on my porch getting ready to toss out the Hershey bars and Kit Kats, and I look at my phone for an update, and it's like, whoa.
Oh,
someone made a smart decision down there. What brought that on?
Well, evidently the president did it, because the board is not empowered to fire Durkin. That's the way it works. And the audio
that we ran on Tuesday via Big Ten Network from that press conference, I believe the gentleman that we heard, not a big fan of the president of Maryland. Don't see eye to eye on a lot of stuff.
Well, I think that, what did I say yesterday? What I said yesterday was this, that the easiest thing for the board to do would be to say, all these people are out, and we're starting fresh. They decided to take the far more difficult route and say, hey, look, the evidence shows us this, the evidence doesn't show us that, so we're retaining the coach. Okay. And that was the hard route to take because, again, how do you recruit? How do you, how do you do any of that stuff? Okay. Well, then 24 hours, I guess the meeting he had with his players was very awkward. There was a report that two players on Tuesday had a fight on the practice field. I mean, I'm talking absolute Donnybrook of a fight. And the whole thing is Jordan McNair dying is obviously the single worst part of this. But my goodness, the way this has been handled. Now, Matt Canada has done a good job with them. They're 5-3. I mean, you may not realize they are playing Michigan State this weekend. Just in case you wanted to know. They actually do have a game. Probably is going to be a relief for them to play the game. But they're also a fractured football team right now.
There's one name that I thought of after the show last night on the way home that we didn't bring up. And that's Kevin Plank, the founder of Under Armour, former Maryland football player. I got to thinking,
And this is obviously. To be honest with you, Sean, he's got his own problems. Because you see, take a quick look at the stock market. Nike is doing well, Adidas is doing well. Under Armour stock is not doing well at all. He split 2 years ago. Maybe it was 18 months ago. He split the stock. Now, normally when you split, the idea is you split, boom, and that gets it kicked up a little bit. Didn't go anywhere. He is way under what Nike and Adidas happen to be.
You do see quite a few younger people wearing Under Armour garb, but I think that the business portion of Under Armour that's really hurting is the shoes, the athletic shoes. They're really they're falling way below business expectations.
Well, I mean, again, they are. Here they are, $21.19 a share, New York Stock Exchange, $21.19. Now, they actually, to their credit, are up 7%, okay? But $21.19 a share for Under Armour, okay? So keep that number in mind. So now let's get to Nike, okay? Okay, Nike is $76 a share, $76.72. Okay, so that they're right now they're 3.5 times higher. Okay, than Under Armour. Adidas is. Okay. Where's their stock valuation here? Adidas was right around Nike's number, I thought. Adidas stock market.
I see Adidas at 116.
Yeah, that makes sense.
116, and they're
only 116.31.
Yep.
Adidas AG. Okay, so Adidas is at 116. All right. Nike's at 77, and Under Armour's at 21. Okay, what kind of clout does he have right now at $21 a share? He's lost a lot of money. Because, I mean, at one point, Under Armour was up. They're way down. See, that's one of the things that I found to be interesting in this, because Jack and him, believe me, like the two people that follow this, what do you think? We sit there and we talk about screen passes all the time? Jack and I have talked about this stock several times, about how Under Armour has plunged. Well, if Under Armour is plunging, guess who's also plunging? Kevin Plank may not quite have the clout he had before, because right now he is fighting a losing battle in terms of the stock market share.
So this was a story that Reuters ran a couple of days ago. Under Armour shares have surged 25%. This was Tuesday. I wonder if that was a story that was printed Tuesday morning before the press conference. After the sportswear maker's upbeat quarterly earnings and full-year profit forecast underscored the success of its multi-year plan to lower costs and reduce bloated inventory. Third-largest sportswear maker in the United States has closed stores, cut jobs, and rolled back promotions to bolster profit margins as it tries to recover from a bruising fight for market share with bigger rivals like Nike and Adidas.
Yeah. Now, as I meant, I was fair about it. I mentioned how they're up 7%. But, see, when that happens, your clout becomes diminished. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. All right. High school football playoffs coming up. Now, Shikellamy would have qualified for the playoffs under the point structure, but they opted not to play, and they lost to Milton last week. And I think they had as many as 15 players out. Or something like that. It's just a hard, hard year for them. So they opted out, and now you have a different structure with another team in place. Okay, so we're going to talk playoffs here. Playoffs. And, Zach, you get the District 4 Quad A semifinal. Midwest against Selins Grove. 7 o'clock kick on Eagle 107. Welcome. Great to have you with us today.
Hey, it's great to be back, Steve.
All right, let's start with this. Down the stretch, did they do certain things that make you think they can advance in this thing?
I think the big thing that Selins Grove has and has had almost all season is defensively. You look at a lot of teams and just the ability to shut down an opponent's rushing game. That's something that they were able to show that they can do all year. They only had one player that went over 100 yards in a game against them all season. So I think that's a big thing. Defensively, you know what you're going to get out of the 3-5, and they've been disruptive They had 6 sacks last week against Montoursville. So defensively, I think you have a pretty good idea of what to expect. Offensively, there's still a lot of growth that needs to happen. Last week, Selinsgrove actually moved their 2 running backs, their starting running back, tailback Joe Kahn and starting fullback Nate Schoen, to the offensive line and moved their tight end to tackle. So they ended up moving 3 of their best athletes to the offensive line to try to fill some gaps and give a little athleticism. And they had mixed results with that. Overall, the guys played well, but definitely switching your offensive line week 10. You're hoping that an extra full week of practice here in another game is something that hopefully they can move forward and advance in districts.
How tough has it been? Look, there's been a certain way Selinsgrove, Zach, has played for the last 3-4 years. How tough has it been for the coaching staff to come up with different ways to play? Because it's, you know, because different personnel and they'll do the same thing.
Yeah, I think so. There's been a lot of that. I mean, one of the things, and we've talked about it a little bit, is just not really having a deep threat at wide receiver. There's some really solid possession guys. And Josh Nyland, who's a junior and has almost 1,000 yards receiving in his career, actually had a long 70-plus yarder last week that tied the game against Montoursville. But having to scheme around that, they've kind of had to nickel and dime their way downfield because nothing's easy. But I think the big thing is, you know, listening to Penn State and hearing James Franklin talk about championship habits consistently, that's just one thing I think this team is still learning, you know, still learning the time that needs to go into preparing for a game and watching film and just making sure that they're ready to go on a Friday night. We've seen some improvements with that, and despite losing to Montoursville last week 10-7, the effort was there, the preparation was there. So I think that's a big thing moving forward and hopefully something that they can gain some confidence in going into district.
What makes this Midwest story so remarkable?
Well, I mean, the big thing that makes it remarkable is they are in year 1 of their program. So to come in here, they had a
unreal.
Very successful season. They were 5-4 on playing an independent schedule. They're not in the Heartland Athletic Conference yet. But a lot of those guys have actually played football prior to this season. Anybody that went to Midwest and wanted to play football actually played for East Juniata, who was a team that Selinsgrove actually matched up with 11 years ago in district playoffs. So they've just been a great story. The community has really embraced them. And even the Selinsgrove community has embraced it. It's pretty unique whenever you're at a game and you hear another team score and everybody cheers and it's for another team, not against another team. You know, that might be a rival or an upset. So they've been able to have a successful season. And anytime, this is officially the first time that the 2 Snyder County schools have ever met in football. So that just adds a lot of excitement, a lot of build up to this game.
What swings it one way or the other?
Personally, and we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, Midwest is mostly a running team. They're primarily going to line up in I formation. Occasionally, they'll spread you out, but they're able to run the ball out of that. They only have under 500 yards passing on the season. And with Selinsgrove's run defense, I expect this to be a game where the Selinsgrove defensive line and linebackers can really kind of key off on Midwest's running game and make some plays. But to Midwest's credit, they've been a team all season that has been able to run the ball, and they've actually worn some teams down. So I think Selinsgrove is one of the best teams that Midwest has played all season. Their schedule is made up of a hodgepodge of teams, some that have had some success and some single-A teams that really haven't played a lot of people. So the big thing, anytime you go into a game with a decided advantage, you have to watch for those little things. I expect to, you know, Midwest, I wouldn't be shocked to see them, you know, do an onside kick or, you know, do some new formations to try to catch Selinsgrove off guard. So I think it's a big thing to just be able to recognize that. And a game like this, as we say every week, you can't turn the ball over. You can't give them a chance to go on short fields because Selinsgrove's offense has struggled enough that you don't want to give a team a lead and have to have Selinsgrove playing from behind all game.
Zach, always a pleasure. Great work as always.
Hey, thanks a lot. Have a good night.
All right, Zach Showers. It's the Quad A semifinal Midwest, the Mustangs taking on Selinsgrove. Seals will be the home team in this Friday night at 7 on Eagle 107. You'll hear it beginning at 6 o'clock. Lewisburg will be at Central Columbia. That's Saturday at 7 on 100.9 The Valley. Greg Wetzel joins us. Greg, we apologize. I mean, normally you're sitting in there with the suit and doing everything you can to get out of the building.
It's much calmer today.
Yeah, I mean, I remember last week, and Sean was like, Greg, you have to stay.
Yeah, I know.
you're committed to the segment. You have to stay. He says, yes, for my peace of mind, I need to go.
Come back.
And I'm telling you, the last IndyCar race I went to, the passing was unbelievable, Greg. Unbelievable. In and out, wee-hoo. And they were doing it at 5,000 miles per hour.
Tricky Triton.
Each turn, Greg, did you know each turn is different?
I found that out.
Okay. Look, you want to be playing your best football of the year when you hit this spot. Where is Lewisburg playing its best football right now? And where are a couple of areas where you sit back and go, boy, they really have not made progress there?
Offensive line probably is playing their best football right now. Teams last week, Mifflinburg came out and they literally had 11 guys within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, daring Lewisburg to throw the ball. Lewisburg ran for over 200 yards against them.
Yeah.
So that's who's playing the best ball right now. However, Dylan Farinato came back last week and probably played about 10-12 plays on offense. He caught one pass. That made things a little easier for Lewisburg to run the ball then, too, when he got back into the game. I think Nick Chileski completed 3 passes last week for a total of about 150 yards. So he had a great yards per completion average. But it's just something that can open up this offense a little, that they don't key on Max Moyers. Where they need some work, probably their defensive secondary in a game against Central Columbia. They play zone, they play man-to-man, they mix it up a little. Probably their best cover corner is, he's probably 5'5", 135 pounds. Mm-hmm. And he does a really nice job. But against Central Columbia, he has some difficulties matching up because they have some very nice-sized wide receivers in Xander Bradley and Jared Verse, both 6 feet tall. In fact, Verse is 6'6". So that's going to create some matchup problems for Lewisburg, and I think that's where they need to improve in the secondary.
How have they been with the defensive front? We talk about how good their offensive front has been. How many of those guys, if any, are playing both ways, and has it translated to the defensive front?
Well, they all play both ways, but there's when you're talking offensive linemen, you're talking 7-8 offensive linemen that play every game.
Okay.
And on defense, same thing. You have 7 or 8 defensive linemen. So there's constantly switching guys in and out. So that hasn't been an issue. But last week, they really put a lot of pressure on the Mifflinburg quarterback. Now, when they matched up against Central 2 weeks ago, that was an issue. They weren't getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. Vice versa, Central did get pressure on the Lewisburg quarterback. So that's an area to watch in the game this week. If Lewisburg has made some adjustments, just playing them 2 weeks ago to help with their tackles on giving Chileski some protection.
I mean, playing 2 weeks ago, I mean, from your point of view, Greg, what's the plus to that? And then what are there any minuses to it?
The plus is you're very familiar with the scheme that they're playing and what they're going to do. The minus is you lost by 26 points.
Right, yeah.
You know, now, and talking with the coach this week, those 26 points, Lewisburg fumbled inside the central 5-yard line, or interception was returned for a touchdown. Another one was returned to about the 10-15-yard line, and Central scored on a broken play in the last play of the first half. So the coaching staff and the players are looking like, hey, we had 28 points essentially given to Central Columbia.
Yeah.
You know, so that's their outlook on it. They think if it's an even, they think it's an even game right now, and that's the outlook to have going into that game.
All right, so now let's take the other part, because based on what you say, how important is it for Lewisburg to actually get out of the gate and get to the lead in a game like this?
I think that's probably the key to the game, Steve. They need to get out to lead, because the last 3 years Central Columbia has beaten them. And Isaac Gensimer, their tailback, has had a heyday against Lewisburg. He's the worst game he's had against Lewisburg was just 2 weeks ago. He only rushed for 150 yards. So you know he's doing quite well against Lewisburg, and he's probably, his eyes are lighting up when, you know, Lewisburg's the opponent. So I think getting the lead is something that's going to be crucial for Lewisburg to win this ball game.
Well, Greg, always a pleasure. For some reason, you seem much more calm this week, seem more in tune.
More relaxed.
But you know, last week you seemed relieved.
Yes, I was. about 5 of 4, I was.
Yeah, like when we started talking football, you seemed to like, you know, you seemed to slow down a bit, right? And then when I started wrapping up, it seemed like you got antsy again.
Yeah. That's true. Very true.
I mean, not only that, if you dip down low onto the grass, that's a legal pass.
That's right. In racing, it is.
And I'll tell you right now, Marco Andretti taught me this move, which I use on Route 15 every week.
Yeah. I don't want to say anything about that, okay? My lips are sealed on that one.
So you drive a fast truck on 15?
No.
What are you saying?
I'm saying with Kevin. Okay. Okay.
No offense. I even called the school district to see if they could schedule a basketball game December 5th.
Maybe there'll be a snow delay or something like that. They could postpone one, snow postponement. They can get it in there in December.
I mean, I'll tell you right now, I'm willing to bring the snow guns in from Tussey Mountain and create one.
We got fresh tires. We're good. We'll make her home.
Greg, it's always a pleasure. Greg, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks so much. Nice talking to you.
You too, Greg. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
It'll be Saturday at Ann Arbor. 3:45 will be the kickoff. 2 o'clock the airtime as Penn State takes on Michigan. I was talking with Todd Blackledge this morning. And Todd has Notre Dame and Northwestern. He said for one thing, he says, Steve, he said, I'm sitting here at the new practice facility, which is right on the shore. He says, it's unbelievable. Northwestern's gone from having the worst facilities in the Big Ten to having the best facilities in the Big Ten. They just redid the basketball arena, too. I mean, to have that kind of practice facility, I mean, I'll finally see it when I go out there for basketball, but Todd was telling me today it's unbelievable. Now, he's got Notre Dame.
Yeah, I'll be curious, crowd at Ryan Field on Saturday, if it's going to be like, 50-50 split, since, Notre Dame's, 75, 80 miles away?
Well, it's actually not.
not really, that doesn't even become relevant. Notre Dame has so many people that come from Chicago to watch their games. They're 10 miles away. I mean, they have a lot of people from Chicago area that come to watch their games. So, but yeah, I think it's going to be a big Notre Dame crowd there. But Thorson will present them with an issue. Now, the best side of the ball for Notre Dame is their defense. And I asked Todd, I said, you know, for Notre Dame, what is Book not just meant for the offense, but what is he actually meant for the defense? And look, he's keeping the defense off the field. He's keeping them fresher. He's made some plays for them. He says they've got some receivers that can really play in this thing. And he's made them better. So, I mean, it's really helped making that move. And Todd did the first game that they made the switch. So, yeah, he was... interesting. So now you've got that game, and Penn State is playing Michigan, and Michigan's the 5 team, the one that's on the outside looking in. So those two games right there are big stakes games. Now, I was talking with Dick Girardi today, and Dick's going to be on the show tomorrow, and DJ was telling me, I said, Dick, I said, what's the atmosphere in the state like right now? Because Kentucky has not been relevant in football, and now they've got this big game with Georgia. You know, I mean, Kentucky's 5-1 in the SEC. Yeah, they're 5-1 in the SEC. And do you realize in those six games they've only been favored in one? That was the Vanderbilt game. It's the only game where they've been the favorite. How about that? And Kentucky now is playing Georgia, and then Kentucky and Duke play basketball on Tuesday. I mean, it's, he says, crazy. He says, for once, football's taking over, and the football game's opposite the Breeders' Cup, which is at Churchill Downs. So, I mean, those are the big games coming up. And, of course, LSU and Alabama's the night game. I'll probably get a chance to watch that on the plane coming home. You know, my guess is that by the time they get to near halftime or whatever, that's about time we'll be able to start watching the game. Although it's not far from Ann Arbor to Ypsilanti where the airport is. And it's not far. And the LSU Alabama game is interesting for a couple reasons. Number one, what really does hurt LSU in this game is their offense. Because to be honest with you, this is not the best Alabama defense they've ever had. It's really, really good. But to be honest with you, their defense is not quite to what I think everyone thinks it is. But I don't think LSU has enough offense to make it pay off, where he can keep Tua Tagovailoa off the field. Wow. Okay. Next half hour, Roman Stubbs, Washington Post.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.